You are listening to The Mauer Report, a live radio show that ventures into the mysteries of life, as well as the hot topics of the day, either political or business. Before we begin, if you have not taken advantage of my 73, selling myself short yet again, 73, okay, apparently it's 73 tonight, apparently I've deleted two over the last week and don't remember doing it. Tips before starting your podcast, come over to my website, they're right there, free ebook, you gotta give me your email address because, well, it's a free thing and I need something for putting it all out there and hosting and all that other stuff, so, and you'll get a couple follow-up emails with just asking you how you're doing and making sure, you know, just checking in. And that's all we're going to do around here. But, so come over and do that. If you're interested in starting a podcast, or if you have one for a while, I know some people that I've sent it to that have had a podcast for a number of years have just kind of like, yeah, I wish I would have. And I'm like, yeah, well, now you should have. But now, and they've incorporated some things, and it's all good for that. But my guest tonight may appreciate it. I don't know. We'll find out. My guest tonight is KJ McGlynn. Did I say that right?
Yes, sir. Yep, you sure did.
I'm surprised because I seriously hadn't thought about pronouncing it until I looked at it, and then I went, oh boy, this is going to end badly.
You got it on the first try.
Well, work that one down, everybody. Once in a while, it does happen that I get it right. How are you doing tonight?
I am great. I'm excited that we're finally doing this. It's been a long time coming trying to get our schedules worked out, but the stars aligned, and here we are.
Well, that's the fun part, right? Because you know this. I tell hundreds of people. Maybe hundreds is an exaggeration. Maybe it's not. I'll just go with hundreds for tonight, because apparently my nomadic reasoning is all off anyways. Yeah, I'll have you on. Just let me know. Just send me an email. We'll make it happen. And, of course, when you do 50 shows a year, you tell hundreds of people that, well, you know how the math works. I don't have to explain that. Of course, in the era of Common Core math, I might have to.
It's true.
You have a cup. It already holds so much. Nah, they still wouldn't understand that. So, where do we want to start? Let's start with paranormal stuff. What got you? Let's go way back. What got you interested in the paranormal? Because I think that's kind of a interesting jump point for most of this conversation.
Yeah, you know what? I am excited about how the timing worked out because I accidentally ended up on a new paranormal show, and I've always been. I've always been interested. I've had experiences my whole life. Never really thought about being a part of a show. But during quarantine, I had a lamp that started going on and off, a touch lamp, and it was happening around this time that I was hosting virtual bingo for a pet rescue that I work with, and I thought, well, maybe my grandma is here to play bingo, because that was her thing. Like she had her own bingo table, and nobody messed with Dorothy's table. They knew. And so I just so happened to have a very dear friend who has a paranormal show. Her name is Kitsy Duncan, and she's got a show that's got three seasons on Amazon Prime called Oddity Files, and she was in my bubble, if you will. We were safe to see each other. So I said, well, I know you haven't been able to do any investigating. Would you like to come over and see who's talking to me through this lamp? And she came over. We got some really just absolutely amazing communication. And about a month later, she called and she said, I would like to listen to a show. I into people's homes and help them as opposed to investigating the, you know, all of the crazy places she'd been all over the world. She's like, let's give back, help people. And because she had done such a great job and really helped me, I said, yeah, let's do it. So here I am on this new show called Paranormal Crossroad. And it's a pretty cool group of women. It's all female investigators, and as opposed to, like we said, going to the notoriously haunted places, we're looking for people who maybe are having some experiences at home or having some grief or just need a little bit of help.
Well, that's fun, because had you had any interest in the paranormal before that? I mean, besides the passing interest in, like, watching, but have you... I don't want to say dabbled, but that's the only word that comes to my mind. So this is going to be one of those nights.
Yeah. So I have dabbled in the world of spirits quite often. I am a second degree Reiki healer, so I understand how energy works, and I do a lot of energy work and consultations with people and their pets, in particular cats. I don't like to call myself a communicator, because I have friends who have gone through and really honed those skills and are incredible animal communicators. But I do tend to jive with cats quite a bit, and it's been interesting on our investigations the amount of cat spirits that have come through since I started doing the show. So, I've been on a couple of ghost hunts. I consulted a few times with people who had moved into my childhood home, because it was haunted. And my mother would call and say, somebody else is living in our house now, and they're freaked out. And I would be like, oh, those are just the kids but they were my imaginary friends. Those are the kids I grew up with, and never really thought it was weird until I realized that other people thought that I was weird because I saw those things. And so, like I said, it's never been something that I'm like, I see spirits, I can talk to spirits, I can talk to cats. I've never really put it out there, but in looking at the past year and my journey and what I wanted to do, and really take the media brand that I had built and help people, this show just kind of fell right in line with my spiritual journey and my professional journey.
So one of my chatters just asked me to ask you what your favorite breed of cat was, and I asked him if we were going there, and he hasn't had a chance to reply yet, so we're just going to go there because I trust his judgment on this, even though I'm asking you a question. You know, the old lawyer saying, don't ask a question you don't know the answer to? Well, this right here is a question. You could tell me anything right now, and I'd have to believe you because I don't know anything about it.
Okay, so he said favorite breed of cat?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll tell you that my favorite cat is a rescue cat. I do a lot of work with shelters and rescues, and so any cat that is looking for a home or has come through a shelter or rescue is my kind of cat. If I had to pick a breed, gosh, I'm a little partial to the Siamese. My first cat that I really was responsible for was a Siamese, and I have two Siamese now, and they're extremely smart, and they are very very in touch with energy and the paranormal, if you will. So I tend to lean on them a little bit and watch them and their energy when I'm trying to figure out who we've got visiting in our home. So don't tell my other four cats that I am partial to the two Siamese, but that is my answer.
So I've got I feel like I'm doubled down on a question I don't know the answer to, and I probably shouldn't be asking, but we're only 10 minutes in, so what can go wrong here? you say you read energy of cats, and I do not dispute that animals leave energy and all this other stuff. So first and foremost, we're on the same page there. But I have to imagine, like, inside cats and outside cats have different... Well, I mean, obviously they have different lives, so they're going to leave a different mark. Is there one or the other that are easier for you to connect with?
You know, I mean, and you're spot on there. Actually, the part of the reason that we tend to struggle as humans with cats living in our homes and, oh, they're peeing outside the box, oh, they're scratching these things, is that they are still very in touch with the wild nature that they have. And those types of things are, they're things that they would do in the wild. They're things that they naturally need to do. And so we're still trying to work with them. And I actually do, I have clients who I work with and help them figure out how to redirect energy. And sometimes it's, you know, working with balancing chakras and balancing out. You're going in a rabbit hole when you start talking to me about cats and energy. But the cat is an interesting domesticated animal because they are in the wild and still in their DNA, both predator and prey. And so they are constantly not only hunting, but being concerned about being hunted. And most of the issues that we run into with our cats that live in our homes are usually, it's usually an imbalance in their energy of they're too much predator or they're too much prey. And it's difficult to talk logically to a cat, and you don't necessarily train a cat like you do a dog. And so that's where energy work actually comes in, being very helpful in helping a house cat balance out the fact that, yeah, you still got all of this, crazy drive, and you're worried that someone's going to eat you all the time, but you're in the house and you're safe, and let's balance that out so that you stop peeing in places that you shouldn't. So that's kind of where I step into the paranormal and spirit world, kind of crossing into how I approach dealing with living with six cats.
Oh, you have to do something, because living with six cats sounds like an interesting twist of life for me. Of course, I have a dog, so of course here we go, cats and dogs. But nevertheless, anytime you have a pet in your house, it morphs into this own, I want to say, relationship. I'm kind of struggling for words tonight, which isn't a good thing for a talk person to be doing, but we'll deal with it.
We have those days.
But it is interesting that, you know, because you kind of, well, they know. Intuitively, they know more than you realize they know.
Absolutely. And you nailed it. It's a relationship. That's, you know, I say to people, don't go get a kitten because it's cute. That's a 15 to 20 year relationship commitment that you're making there, and you don't know what their personality is if you're going to jive together. So you gotta think a little bit harder before you bring a pet into your house, and then, you know, go the extra mile to figure out what that little animal has going on with them. And even with dogs, I mean, dogs are much more social because they were domesticated to work with humans, as opposed to cats, who served a purpose of capturing the rodents and keeping things away. Dogs worked side by side, and so they're a little more domesticated, a little more understanding of the human social cues. But there are still things that you can do with dogs to help their behavior when you start to consider them in the way that we consider ourselves, which is body, mind, and spirit. They are the same.
So I'm going to read this question it's a statement followed by a question, I guess, from my chat room.
And, sure.
So I'm going to probably stumble over a few times because it's pretty lengthy, so just bear with me for a second.
You got it.
I've had a lot of cats in my days. I currently have three. One is the most non-cat cat I've ever had. My daughter keeps saying he's not a cat. She's able to communicate with him to find out what else is she able to communicate with him to find out what else is he? A psychic friend came over and confirmed to me he is not a cat, but would not go any further.
Okay. Well, yes.
That's what, like I said, I just wanted to throw that out there because I'm fascinated by that. And I don't know. I don't know where that's going.
So, yes, I would recommend someone who has a good reputation for being an animal communicator, someone who's been certified and studied and really honed their skills. I do have references. If you are interested, you can go to just go to kjonair.com and fill out my contact form and say, hey, who's the pet communicator that I should talk to. But I have one of my six cats also is, she's convinced that she's not a cat. And in the conversations that we've had, she's a first time cat. So she's never been, what we've learned from her is that she's never been in a cat body. And so she doesn't get being a cat. You can have some really interesting conversations when you start asking them what they're here for, what their purpose is, and they're pretty hysterical, honestly, because they're so matter of fact about anything. They're not like us, where it's like, gosh, are they going to think I'm weird if I say this? I mean, she just is adamant that she's not a cat, and we can't convince her that she is. And it's very similar. We ask her what she is, and she's just like, well, I'm not a cat, you know. So I would encourage that. That conversation can help, because for us, with some of the behaviors that she was having, we had to explain to her that that is cat behavior, and that's cat behavior that's not acceptable for a cat that lives in a house. So fine, you can tell us you're not a cat, but you don't get to do that cat thing. And it was very helpful. And honestly, Jim, the first time that I talked to a pet communicator, it was when I was doing morning radio, and I was not at this point in my in my journey. Like, yeah,
I'm imagining that conversation and this conversation going for those listening, because that's where 99% of my listeners, I'm doing the opposite ends as they split off from the tree at this point, from tonight's conversation to that first conversation years ago.
Yes. I mean, like I said, I always felt like I understood cats, but I didn't realize that I was actually like understanding cats. Like, oh, I'm getting images and things, and I actually do understand what this cat is trying to communicate. I just was like, I'm good with cats. And then this communicator comes on, and she had said when we booked her, I'm not a psychic. I can connect with someone's pet if I have a picture of them. I don't need to be in the same room, but if I have a picture, I can connect with that pet's energy, and we can have a conversation. And so it wasn't like listeners could call up and say, you know, why is Puffy peeing outside the box? It wasn't like that. So we were like, okay, well, I guess I'll just send you pictures of my cats and you'll talk to my cats on the radio tomorrow. And that'll be real interesting. And we got some pretty funny conversation out of it. And she was there. It was very much like, you know, wow, this woman knows my cats. But one of the things that she told me was that my Siamese cat at the time is that he was having extremely painful headaches, and I needed to get him to the vet. Something was very wrong. And I'm like, oh my God, I get off my radio show, and I am like, call my husband, and I tell him, I'm like, what do I do? Am I going to take our cat to the vet and say, I talked to a pet communicator on the radio today, and the reason I'm here is because she said he's having headaches? And he was like, I guess. And so I walked into that vet's office, and thankfully she knew me pretty well, and I was like, this is the craziest thing I have ever said, but a pet communicator told me he's having headaches, and that's why we're here today. And she checked his blood pressure, and it was so far through the roof, it was dangerous, and she said he would be having pain in his head with his blood pressure being this high. And I was like, okay, well, she talked to my cat then. We put him on blood pressure medication and went from there.
I'm sorry. I'm just enjoying the fact your cat has high blood pressure just like me. I'm sorry. Just taking a moment and enjoying that. But how would you...
They do. And you know what? He was on the same blood pressure medication as my father-in-law, which my father-in-law really got a kick out of. It was like, well, now you and Omar are on the same medication for the same problem. So if you run out, I'll rub some lotion in your ear, too.
But I'm also sitting here thinking, how would you know that your cat's having... I mean, just on the surface level here, how would you know your cat's having a headache?
Right. And that was, you know, I asked about that. And, thankfully, like I said, the vet didn't, you know, kick me out and say, off with you, crazy woman. but she asked if he spent a lot of time in the dark, if he hid anywhere strange, and he had started hiding behind a door in the dark. Like, he would go behind this door in our closet and he would cry. And she said, well, what do you do when you have a migraine? You find the darkest place that you can and you cry because it hurts. And I was like, yeah, I just thought we had lost a cat about 6 months before this. And we thought he was grieving. Like, this is a new behavior. He's so sad. He misses his brother. And maybe he was stressed enough about losing his sibling that he stressed himself into high blood pressure. But either way, it all just kind of came together. But you're right. I felt terrible, but I didn't know that cats could have headaches like that. So, you know, if your cat is doing any of that stuff, go to your vet and say, this woman on this show last night said my cat might be having headaches, and that's why I'm here. It'll all come full circle.
I'm still blown away by... So, obviously... I mean, so was that kind of a picking up point for all of this stuff for you? Obviously it was, because you became instantly from fascinated by it to, I want to say, intrigued. Like,
yeah.
Because I know, like, after my first couple paranormal experiences, just seeing things that I couldn't quite grip, and then talking to some people, it kind of, like, all clicked together, like, okay, so A, I'm not, I'll say it, batshit crazy. And then other people were out there kind of, you know, having some, but not quite the same, but close enough that kind of makes me go, and then it just kind of clicked. And as I lovingly say, the rest is history. Is that kind of where that all started for you?
Yes. Yeah, it really did, because it was, you know, if you will, as we say in the paranormal, it was evidence we couldn't explain and we definitely couldn't refute. I mean, someone I had never met told me my cat was having headaches, and, you know, had she not done that, he probably wouldn't have lived much longer. His blood pressure was so high. And so that, in fact, I mean, saved his life and gave him many more years, and did kind of start taking me down the road of, you know, if she can communicate like that, can I start applying some of these things that I was learning about holistic healing and, you know, chakras and acupuncture and things like that, that I just started to really explore, because I had been in a car accident and I was having some chronic pain myself. And I didn't want to just take pills. Like, and I just felt like there had to be something else. So it all kind of came together at a time when I was already opening myself up to some of the, you know, alternative ways of healing. And then this came in, and then it started to click a little bit more. You know, oh, I get messages from these cats. Like, I'm not just good with them. Like, I actually kind of understand what they're doing and how to communicate with them. And so, yeah, that was where it went. And then I met my friend Kitsy about 8-9 years ago. Everything's such a blur, especially with this last year. Like, what is time anymore? But I met her, and she, you know, was further along in her journey into the paranormal. She had lost her father and really, really wanted to connect, and that's kind of what brought her into doing the hunts that she did, and then, you know, starting her show, Oddity Files. And then during the pandemic, her group kind of broke up, and they weren't going to do any more Oddity Files, and she wasn't sure what to do. And, well, a light came on at my house, Jim, and the rest is history. Here we are.
Well, not only that, though. So let's push pause on the paranormal end of this for a few minutes here and kind of get into some more of this. You've mentioned doing the morning show for a number of years, so obviously you had the opportunity to be around media and talking to people and all this other stuff, so none of this is strange to you.
No, not at all. My first real job was radio. I started working at the little station in my hometown when I was in high school, and really thought that that was sort of all I was ever going to do. And I did have a really nice long career in radio, and then I transitioned a couple years ago into podcasting and more on the TV side of things. I know this is going to shock you. I'm the kitty correspondent for Pet Pals TV, which is a nationally syndicated show. And so I would say I was very comfortable behind the microphone, but had you asked me, you know, 4 or 5 years ago to be in on a TV show investigating the paranormal, I would have told you that's not in my wheelhouse. It's been a journey, but it's been a journey both from my professional side where I'm at with media and my spiritual journey that have kind of come together. And I guess, you know, the name is fitting when you say paranormal crossroad, because it did all just kind of lead to this.
It did. It's amazing to see how, I love digging into people, how they got from point A to point B, because as simple as that statement is, we all know the math, stuck on math tonight too, the math behind that isn't as simple as it seems. So.
Right. Yeah, it wasn't a smooth road, but it's always, I think it's beautiful, and we need to acknowledge it more at those times in our life where we go, all of this happened to get me to here. That's meaningful, and like, you need to acknowledge that so that the next time you're in those bumps in the road, that you can have a little bit of peace and knowing that these bumps are also leading you to someplace.
So I've got one more media-ish question, and then we'll get back to the paranormal, because that's fun too. Of course, I say that, you know how this all works out. 5 minutes from now, I'll have another question, and it'll just come flying out of my mouth because I have no choice in the matter. But help me with that transition from radio to podcasting, because I know I've talked to a number of people who did it because they had to, and people that did it because they wanted to, and it was a battle. And of course, for other people, being behind the mic, it doesn't necessarily matter. So where were you in that?
So I mean, I was really fortunate in the first morning show that I did. I was on for 14 years, and we had really, not free reign, but very close to, you know, we got to kind of do what we wanted. And so if we ran late and didn't get the commercials in on time, we usually got away with it. And it just, the things that would not happen anymore. But I was lucky that I came from sort of a relaxed conversational format. But I transitioned from that to a morning show that was much more formatted, a lot more music. We went through, not to get like deep into the radio world, but it went through a transition where there used to be diaries and people wrote down what they listened to, and then it went to an actual metered measure. And that, when that transition happened, it really changed how radio was programmed. And all of a sudden, shows weren't talking as much because the shows that talked more didn't get the meters. And so that's kind of a short version of what happened, and why I was on a show that ended up having a shorter format was because of what the new rating system was saying. And at that point, I didn't have an outlet for a lot of the things I wanted to talk about. And I would hear from my program director, like, you know what? I mean, I remember sitting in a promotions meeting, just kind of banging my head against the wall going, how am I sitting in a room full of people who think that the new Star Wars movie isn't going to be a big deal? And they're like, don't talk about it. And we don't need to do promotions for this. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And so I started a podcast so that I could talk about those things, because that's the stuff I love. I love Star Wars. I love Marvel. And I love Harry Potter. I love Doctor Who. I love paranormal stuff. And when you're giving me 3 minutes every 20 minutes to talk, then I have to, you know, recap The Bachelor from last night. And it's not that it's things I don't want to talk about, but it's not the things I would choose to talk about. And so I was fortunate that the radio company that I worked for wanted their personalities to podcast. And so I said, well, fine, then I'm going to do a podcast about all the nerdy stuff that you don't want me to talk about on my show. and that's how it got started. And then when our company got bought a couple of years ago, I was not invited to the new company party. And honestly, I didn't really want to go to that new company's party. And so we parted ways. And I realized that the only thing I really wanted to keep from that, it wasn't the radio that I was going to miss. It was my podcast. And as you know, you can do a podcast pretty easily without a professional radio studio. So I set up at home, and my girls, who were my co-hosts, said, you know, it's not going to be as easy anymore. You can't just on your lunch hour pop down into the studio and we do 30 minutes of, you know, talking about the latest Avengers movie, and then we all go back to work. You have to come to my house. We have to make time on our personal schedules to do this. And it turns out we really love doing it, because we're 145 episodes in since we rebranded and started it on our own. And I love the format of podcasting. I love the fact that it is such a free flow conversation, and that I always tell people, you know, whatever that you care about, no matter how weird it is, the weirder the better, because someone's looking to connect with you just as weird about that thing as you are, and a podcast is a place to do it. So if you're passionate, be passionate about it on your podcast. And it's really been a fun ride, and it's a much more inviting and welcoming and supportive community than the radio and TV world, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'll totally agree with that, because history lesson here for some of you newer listeners. Back in the day, probably 2013, 14, 15, I was on a string of low-power AM-FM stations across the country. So I considered myself a radio personality, because sure as shit, the podcast was going out and being played on these radio stations. So,
yeah,
ergo, radio personality. So I started to try to put myself in places in the radio community just to kind of learn and, you know, make a little more hay, because, well, why not? Holy smokes. You would have thought I went in there and tried to rob the place.
Yeah. It's competitive. It is rough.
Competitive, and don't dare ask anybody for anything, even of free advice, because that's not going to happen. Because you're everybody thinks you're taking their job.
Yes. Yep.
Which blows exactly my mind, because I'm pretty sure that I'm still not qualified to take most people's jobs.
Well, and you know, the first time that I started getting, like, other podcasts would retweet our show and be like, you should listen to this show too, it's great. I'm like, is this a joke? What is this? No DJ would ever be like, you know who else is a really good DJ that you should listen to? That person. Like, that just doesn't happen. And so it was, honestly, it was refreshing. And I've tried, you know, with our podcast to give as much as we've received, to be as kind to people who are starting out and people who are looking for exposure as we were in the beginning, because we were very fortunate to have, like I said, a very welcoming group of podcast people that I didn't know who just checked out our show and then said, you know, we're going to help promote you. We like what you're doing. It was absolutely just amazing. And I'm proud to be a part of a community like that.
So in my chat room pops up this statement: he's not qualified to do this show. LOL, I'm kidding. The only reason I'm allowed to do this show is because it's called The Howard Report, and I'm the only one that was able to do it.
Yep.
Only one that could fit the ID when the time came, so.
Oh, the other thing about podcasting is that the qualifications are very low.
which is great when you start, and then you get a little bit, and you're like, man, they'll just let anybody do this, won't they?
Yep.
That's okay, though. I think after a while, there's struggles in the beginning for everybody. Probably even you, just trying to get used to doing it off a couch instead of in a studio. I mean, there's all kinds of different glitches for everybody. But I think those who persevere and survive and get it, it'll be okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And I always say, you know, if you're listening to a podcast and you really love it, do something to support it, whether it's, you know, throwing a few bucks at their Patreon or just retweeting it or sharing a Facebook post or writing a review. Do something, because those people are working hard. It's a lot of work and dedication to do a podcast and promote the podcast and edit the podcast and book guests for the podcast. And people that are doing it, they really love it. So if you appreciate what they are doing, do something to help them grow their show, because they're working hard for you.
So I think we're at this point where I can ask the easiest question of the night.
Okay.
Where can people find you? Find this said podcast?
Yes, if you go to kindanerdygirls.com, you will find the Kinda Nerdy Girls podcast. It's in all the places, the Apple and Spotify and all the podcast apps, but you can go there. You can leave us a voicemail if you want. I love that you just click this button now and people just leave messages and it goes to my email. And it's like, you have a voicemail. Like, I'm like, okay, cool. Well, if somebody's listening to our show, that's awesome. We're a very interactive show. We have a private group on Facebook that you're welcome to join called the Kinda Nerdy Network. And it's about 1,200 strong now, and it's all really nice nerds. And I go in there and I'm just like, this is such a cool group. Like, I'm not even moderating it. I find out, you know, I get breaking news from other people who posted it. You know, people will say, hey, I'm watching this show. Is anybody else watching it? Or I'm into anime. Is there anybody else here that is? And people are always so nice to each other. So, if you're looking for a community and you're into, you know, the geek culture type of stuff, our podcast is it's a conversation about the fun of fandom, and we've got a really fun group there in the Kind of Nerdy Network to go along with it.
And there's nothing wrong with any of those topics. And back a few minutes, because I did jot this down. I have to say it because you have to say this. Star Wars movies are always and forever and forever and ever forward going to be a big deal.
Yes, right?
And I'm not even a fan. Like, I understand that from 40,000 feet. I don't watch them. I don't get it, but I know that.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. Well, I was the little girl that wanted to be Princess Leia. So, you know, I don't want to get into a conversation about what my life was like when the prequels came out and didn't live up to my high expectations. But when The Force Awakens came out, I was at a movie theater with my podcast for 12 hours, and the radio station didn't have any say in it, and it was a great promotion. And I was like, take that.
wait, time out. 12 hours.
12 hours.
You know, I do this show. I do this show an hour. Actually, last week I did an interview, and then I did an hour of live calls afterwards. So that's two, back to back, 12. Okay, wow. I'm making sure we are all on the same page here when I ask this question.
Yes.
Are you insane?
Well, the thing was is that they when The Force Awakens, when it came out...
Yes, after 12 hours of being awake, I'm sure at some point you wished The Force would have went to sleep. But okay, continue.
No, because we were for 12 hours.
Time out for just a second.
And then we saw the movie.
I was just going to ask, then you went and saw the movie, so you were up for 14, 15 hours at that point before you got home.
Oh, yeah.
And were you able to sleep?
I was going on adrenaline, man. I was cosplaying as Princess Leia. I was living the dream. Every half hour, a new group of people was showing up to see the Star Wars movie, and then we were getting to talk to people, like, you know, as they were coming out and getting their reactions, and I loved every second of it.
Oh, wait, wait, wait. Like, Wait, yeah. So maybe this is changing my perspective as you talk about this, because now that you're saying you were at the theater while people were going in and going out, so you had people to talk. So this wasn't a big, to steal a line from another niche, tailgate party, like 12 hours before it launched. This was kind of a live, in and out, crossover, people coming, you know. Okay.
Correct, yeah.
Okay, so that makes it a little bit more tolerable for me that at least you weren't, you know, because I can't imagine writing 12 hours of content before a movie you haven't seen, I guess is where I was headed.
Oh, gosh, no. Oh, no. I can never do that. We were just getting people, you know, their excitement beforehand and then getting reactions afterwards. Like, don't tell me anything. I haven't seen it yet. That was the hardest part, was that I was in a theater for 12 hours with people who were coming out, like, ready to talk about it. And I'm like, don't tell me anything. Oh my gosh, I don't want to know. But yeah, it was a blast.
So I'm going to ask you this question because, well, you're here, so you're going to be subject to this bad question. Which community is more passionate, the nerd community or the paranormal community?
You know, for me, it all just kind of runs together. Like,
No, take an easy way out of this question.
Oh, you're going to make me, like, take a stand?
Yes. Make somebody mad here tonight.
So far, I mean, this is my, like, first big dive into the paranormal community. Like I said, I've been doing spirit and energy work and things like that, and I've had, you know, spirits in my house and, you know, talk to them and things like that. But, like, to go full on into a show and start having, you know, I'm starting to have new followers who are really into the paranormal, who know way more about it than I do because they've been watching every single Ghost Hunter show that they can. And I'm like, mostly I just kind of talk to my cats and the spirits around my house, but I'll start watching Ghost Hunters if I need to. So I don't know if it's fair to necessarily, for me to judge the paranormal a community yet, because I haven't been, like, fully embraced and living full on in it. But I mean, I think that, you know, I have made it a point to, and part of the reason that I founded the Kinda Nerdy Network was to create a community where we could be positive and kind. We always say you can't be kind of nerdy without being kind. That's our mission is a place where it's safe for you to be a nerd. It wasn't when I was growing up and I loved Star Wars and Captain America, and especially being a girl, there was, what are you doing, you know? And so I think that there are factions of the nerd community that are not very welcoming and kind. And I'm, you know, on a mission to change that. I would say that the paranormal community at this point in my, you know, introduction into it, has been very welcoming and kind. So, which one is more passionate? Is that the question?
Yeah, I think was the question.
I didn't write that one down,
so I don't remember how I asked that question. We'll go with
perfect.
That.
Talk long enough that you forgot the question.
You filler bustered the question. That's great. 2024, here we go.
I see a great passion and connection in the paranormal community. I think because we're all searching for something, right? We're hoping to get answers and to understand more, and I think that is. It is a common bond regardless of, you know, what you think is real or not. And if you, you know, believe in demons or you don't, or what, it doesn't matter because we're all searching together. So I think that is a passion that really drives everyone who delves into this paranormal community to work together. Like, you know, I hope you get evidence because we all need it. You know, if you get something that's amazing and concrete and can't be disputed, that helps everybody. So I would say that there is, if you're making me pick one, I would say probably the paranormal community.
Yeah, and I hope you're right. I mean, I know there's, just a heads up, there are some people in the paranormal community that are, what's the word I'm looking for? Assholes. There we go. That's a good one.
Oh, no.
Just saying.
Okay.
Just for the record. Just for the record, I hate to burst your bubble, but...
Well, I haven't run into any of them, and I hope as we continue to, you know, spread the word of our show and that, you know, we're bringing peace to people experiencing the paranormal that people will understand we're the nice ladies. And
well, I was going to say, part of that, you're repelling them already by being nice.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so just so you know. So maybe, okay. Maybe you'll never see them. Maybe you'll just avoid them. So that'd be good.
Okay. So maybe they'll avoid me. They'll be like, oh, that's gross.
Yeah, we don't want to be near that nice person because then people think we're nice and we're just not. We can't have that. No. No. Well, but seriously, I mean, it's just like any of the, you know, like you were saying with the nerd community. There's just, it's the kind of that mixed bag of the same, I don't want to say the same people, but the same characters play.
Right.
Different names, you know. I don't know. So, I don't
know. Yeah, and I'm not out to honestly prove anything to anyone or change anybody's mind. Like, you do you. That's fantastic. I know what I've experienced, and I know that when we go into these investigations and we approach them with kindness, that we're getting a lot of great response and getting a lot of resolution and clarity for the people who are asking us to come to their homes and do this. So that's what I know. You know, that's all I've got. And if you're doing something different and it works for you, cool.
Well, it doesn't work for these people, but they think it does because, well, I guess there's the two ways to get attention, and that's respect or just go out and scream enough, and then somebody will scream back. So.
Yeah. What do you do when you're investigating? Are you out there screaming?
I haven't investigated much in 6 years. Had to count. It's been a while. I take that back. There was the occasion where I did scream on purpose. Like, there was an intent behind it. Of course, the funny part was I was more screaming. I was screaming at the living person, right, across the room.
This may have
been acting, actually. Now that I think about not investigating, I was taking out some anger. Right, but it kind of seemed like we were doing an EVP session. Maybe I need to work through this a little bit more. Maybe this wasn't such a provoking, more trying to provoke a reaction from a living person.
Oh dear, I may have opened up some wounds there for you. You need to go.
I was
going to
say, I don't know if we want to continue this conversation or not at this point. Maybe we'll have to figure something else out to talk about.
You work on that. If you need some help balancing your chakras, let me know.
Well, like I said, it's been years since I did that. Actually, we did that investigation, right, where it was, I don't want to say I was hostile, but it was ugly. And then a few days later, I got a phone call from said person that I was provoking, right? And we had more words. He actually finally got the message, I guess. And I think ever since then we've been fine. It's just, you know, sometimes you just have to kind of, how do I say this? You wake the person up to what's going on around them?
Sure. Yeah. That's a very kind way to put it.
and sometimes, being the old baseball player that I, you know, was, baseball player, bench coach, all that fun stuff, you can tell somebody, hey, keep your head up, keep your eyes open, right? Or about the fifth time you tell them that, I'm not going to yell into my microphone because that's just not nice.
Sure.
But
you get a little stronger with it.
There's a little bit more tone and a little bit more, well, probably spit and hand motion and all the other.
Oh, so, yeah. I get it.
Especially, it's interesting because when you're out investigating with people you know, so you kind of know their tendencies. But that breeds a problem, though. Next level paranormal people, right? Because when you go out and you investigate with the same people, like I said, you know what they're doing, and then you start to get a little sloppy with things. Because you get a little friendly and everything gets a little bit more relaxed, right? And it kind of can get a little sloppy. And so if you're, well, I'll tell you what the part of it was. Started whispering during EVP sessions.
Oh, no.
And you can only say, don't do that so many times before you know what you're hearing is not an EVP. There, I'll say it that way.
Yeah. Wow.
It was rather clear.
I appreciate that. Given that, you know, that our show is fairly new, you're giving me some great advice here. I will remind my fellow investigators that we cannot get sloppy.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's part of why we connected I don't want to say randomly, but it kind of just worked. And we're kind of at this point in the conversation. It just felt like something I needed to say. So the bill's in the mail for the three of us.
Perfect. Oh, well, I'm bummed that you're not out there investigating anymore. But I mean, like I said, when we were talking about podcasting, I mean, you've got I hope it's okay to say this. So you've got a hell of a show, and I
think we've already crossed that bridge a few times, or I did. So you can go ahead and go wherever you want.
All right. Well, thank you. You know, and I know how much work goes into this, and I see you working all the time. You are on social media. You are all over it. You probably don't even have time to mess with the ghosts and the spirits anymore.
Well, that's part of it, right? That kind of filled that void. I get to talk to people that are out doing it, which is, I don't want to say easier, because there's still all this work that goes into it beforehand, trying to figure out who the person is and all this other stuff. Of course, I have two youngish kids at home now. Of course, they're older now, so it would be easier to leave them at home and go do this. But then obviously COVID has just kind of blew anything out of the water that I was even remotely thinking about. So it's just kind of this thing. And honestly, like I do, it's probably been a few months, but I do love getting on the phone with somebody that's going to an investigation and has questions. We're coming back from an investigation. Hey, we had this, like you said with the lamp. It doesn't make sense, but what do you think? What do you think? And walking you through, and then you start asking questions, more of what we do around on the show, but it's different because you can be brutally, I mean, not that I'm not brutally honest on here, but there's a whole nother level when it comes to some, getting into the backstory and all this other stuff. There's just a different level, you know what I'm saying, about that.
Sure,
You can be very specific because you are very specific in knowing what they're talking about. And so that's fun, too. And so sitting in the cold hotel at 2 a.m., well, I don't want to say I don't miss it, but I don't necessarily miss it either. Like, it's one of those weird things at this point in my life where, yeah, I'd go do it again, but I don't know.
No, I feel
like there's more out there that I need to ask about besides that moment.
Sure. We did and even though, I mean, this building was, had heat and everything, but we did a public ghost hunt over the weekend, and it was one of those, like, up all night things, like, meet us at 11 and we're there until 5 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, why are we doing this? When we go out and talk to these, when we go into people's homes, it's like, dinner time. we're in their homes for a couple of hours, and we come back a second time for a couple of hours, and that's it. I'm like, this is so much nicer than going into, like, crappy old buildings with no electricity and no running water and... Like, if I was going to be on a paranormal show, I picked the right one. We go into people's cozy homes and investigate.
Back when we did a lot of homes, so our MO was go like 4 o'clock-ish. I mean, depends on summer, winter, right? Because the sun sets a lot earlier. But so we'd go do our preliminary, we'd do a phone interview, and then we'd go check out the site, right, during the daytime. So you kind of got a grip. Go grab something to eat, go back, investigate for a few hours. And if you had to go, most of the places we went, we made a second trip back, but it was kind of, I don't want to say, again, you get to that point where it becomes comfortable. So, you know, you go eat and you kind of, you know, and then you go. And of course, there's all, you know, like I said, it gets a little too comfortable at times. So that's okay, though.
Sure.
I'm not complaining about that. Don't get me wrong. It was great. But
are you trying to talk me out of this? Should I get out of this show now while I can?
Yeah, get out while you're still friends with everybody. just a fair warning. Now, I still communicate with a great number of them. Of course, there's a handful of them. Think I'm the worst thing ever. Hi.
Wow. Wow.
That's okay.
I don't need those people in my life.
Well, you'll know them fairly quickly, and they'll expose themselves and show themselves right out pretty quickly, too. But
okay.
Well, I believe so. I mean, I could be wrong, but, you know, you've been around people long enough to know who the good people are and who the bad people are.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
I'm not going to have to teach you that. So, and plus, I've only got 3 minutes left, so I couldn't teach you that if I wanted to.
The extended version where Jen teaches me about good people and bad people.
On this quick episode of the Mal Report, we go into good people versus bad people and how you could tell the difference. First way you can tell they're bad people is because they are always asking about your money and want to know how much you have and how much you're willing to spend on them.
And that's why I don't have any friends.
I thought that's what you were going to say. That's why I don't have any money. And I was going to have...
No, I definitely don't have any money.
Yeah, that's... boy, that's for sure. I, you know... I always laugh when I see people out there promoting these podcast businesses. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure some of them are great, but they're going to do this, that, and the other, and all this great stuff for $1,400 a month. And I'm like, you do realize most podcasters are poor because if they could afford to do actual good things, they'd be doing YouTube videos and they wouldn't be doing podcasts. But
right.
Have this great studio built in their basement. I seen one today. Actually,
yeah,
like, looks just like a CNN set, lights and all this other stuff, and I'm like, that dude's not a podcaster. That dude is a video star, and he's got the
money. Yep, yep, exactly. The podcast is a labor of love. There may be some things you can do, like people are like, "Wow, you have a podcast, so you must know what you're doing." Well, maybe
we do. Trust me, we do.
We do.
But, don't ever doubt that. We do know what's going on.
Yes, and for $1,400 a month, I can teach you.
Yeah, I seen one $250, I'll teach you how to make money for your podcast. And I'm like, oh, I really do need to do this because I'm pretty sure I know how you're making your money off your podcast. But anyways.
Yep.
You know, KJ, this has been fun, and I'm glad we were able to connect and do this in... Someday we'll have to get back to all the other paranormal stuff and get a little bit more into that. But
I would love that. Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, we've got our next new episode is April 30th, and we're rocking it. And if you wanted to have my fellow ladies on, Kitsy Duncan and Tiffany Rice, they're more fun than I am. So I don't know why you didn't book them and went with me, but I'm sure that they would love to come on and talk paranormal with you anytime as well.
Well, we'll have to figure that all out. Well, hey, I told you it'd go fast, and I didn't disappoint, did I?
You did not.
Well, have a good evening, and I'll probably see you on Twitter because you mentioned I have a slight problem.
Well, that's where we've seen each other for years.
Have a good evening.
We'll just keep doing that. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
I hope everybody enjoyed that as much as I did. That was pretty fun tonight. So. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Mal Report. Stay tuned for details on saving money at the Duck Pond Shop. I hope you enjoyed this report. Please subscribe so that you can join us again. And if you appreciate the show, leave us some stars or a review. For more notes from this show or other great shows, check out Mallard.com. A reminder, the views and opinions of the show are those of the host and guest and do not represent any sponsors, affiliates, or any other partners of the Mallard Report. Now for your money-saving tip. Promo code Mallard at checkout of duckpondshop.com, where you can get your t-shirt, coffee mug, and other great products. That's promo code Mallard at checkout, duckpondshop.com. Until next week, stay safe and keep quacking.
A news story gets shared by a friend on social media, or you catch a tweet that really makes your blood boil. But how do you separate fact from fiction? That's the premise behind Disinformation, a 10-part series from Evergreen Podcasts and Emergent Risk International coming this fall. Tune into Disinformation wherever you get your podcasts, and remember, don't believe everything you read.